challenge to walk with the Lord. It's something that we don't want to take for granted constantly. Okay? And this one has a lot to do with walking circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15, page 10 if you need to, and here we go. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And that's pretty straightforward. Okay, let's try one more time. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Well, this morning we're going to take up this challenge of learning to consider the idea of walking. This time we take a look at Paul's words, Paul's writings in the book to the Philippians, and we go into the third chapter. And once again, we look at this whole idea of walking. In verse 17, note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. Verse 18, many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So how do we understand this Christian walk? Is it really, really important? And if so, how do we understand it effectively? I think we all understand the concept of walking. If you are parents, you know what it is. We teach our children to walk, and if they are not doing well in their studies, go up to the higher level. If they are not healthy, be healthier. You know, this is something we all desire very much. We all understand this as parents. We want our children to succeed, to go beyond us, to be where we could not walk. I think that's something we all understand. And the word is walk. You have a trainer, you have a person who, if you are in any sporting activity, you have a person who is a coach, you have a person who was a trainer, and the person will tell you, listen, you can do this. And the person trains you to walk better, run better, fight better. We all understand this. The point of it all is go up to the next level. This is not a difficult concept. But for the Christian walk, it's the same thing. The challenge is to go up to a higher level of life all the time. Who wants to walk with an ordinary life when we can walk at a higher, better level? And so Paul talks about this walk in verse 14, for example. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. And this is wonderful to think about. You know, it's an upward call of God. It's like a prize. And it's always higher. I think it's not difficult to understand if we just think in terms of as parents, bringing our children, as teachers, wanting our students to improve, as people who are desirous of improving our life. But so it is with the Christian life. How can we improve better? I think if we understand this concept, then there is no great difficulty understanding this. But why is it that so many people fail to be able to walk meaningfully? And the answer is found here, actually, in verse 15. Paul says, Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Now, the word here, as many as are mature, in verse 15, literally has the idea of a person who is complete. Okay? Now, we call this a italic idea. Now, let us say that when we start out as Christians, we are called babes in Christ. Right? Paul Peter tells us, as newborn babes, we desire the pure milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. Then, the Apostle John wrote a general epistle, and he says, I write to you, little children. I write to you, young men. Then he says, I write to you, fathers. What is he really talking about here? What is really what we want, the takeaway from this one here is this idea of that we are no longer children. We're no longer young people. We are, as it were, mature enough to be called fathers. This is the idea here. It's the idea of growth till you see a certain level of maturity. Sometimes it's translated the word perfect in the King James Version. But what it really means is the idea of maturity. Right? I am not going to grow any taller. I have reached this telic point. The only way I can grow is now to grow sideways, which I'm not going to let happen. I would like to see my feet when I look down. So I look at it, my life, and I say, but I have reached this level of certain level of maturity. Well, this is what Paul is saying. Why is it that people cannot walk as they were meant to? We lack this level of maturity. That's why. Okay? So this is something that we need to consider very carefully. Why do I not desire to walk with the Lord? Immaturity. Why cannot I sustain this? Immaturity. Okay? But when you grow up, when in the early days when we were growing up, we never hear the word called stress. Dessert, yes, which is opposite of stress. We just got to work, right? What stress? If you were a middle child, you just grow up fighting left and right. You don't have a middle child syndrome. Single child syndrome. Last child syndrome. 18th child syndrome. Well, that 18th child was John Wesley. He had no syndrome. I mean, unfortunately, we make all kinds of excuses. And if you want to find excuses, there will always be plenty. Easy to find them. But when we talk about maturity, it is quite different. And so, Paul says in Philippians 3 and verse 15, therefore, this is the outward call of God, therefore, those of us who are mature have this mind. Now you say, well, I don't have this mind. I don't know why the King James translators always use this word, have this mind. Literally, what it means is, think this thought. Maybe you don't have a very strong, powerful, mature mind, but you can think this thought. It's a challenge. You see, so the thought here in verse 15 is, think this way. That's what it means. Think this idea. Think. Now, God has given us a calling. This is an upward call. How should I respond? I should really respond well, maturely, please. This is what Paul means. So you don't really need to have a full mind of Christ, which is, of course, the ideal. But you can think this thought. And it's the thought to think about is, I want to walk with the Lord. I want to walk as a mature Christian. I want to be mature in my faith, in my thought, in my walk with God. If this is possible, it will be something that will encourage and strengthen our resolve. But Paul went on further to say in verse 16 and verse 15, if anybody else thinks any other way, God will reveal this to you. In other words, he's saying, I am right. We are all given a high calling of God. Okay? And those of us who are mature will agree, this is the way to walk. This is our lifestyle. We must have this upward call. Well, what about those who disagree? You know what Paul said? God will reveal this to him, that he's right. This is the level of faith that we must have. This is the walk that we must maintain. This is the life that we must consider. So the idea of the Christian walk must now be established. This is the way we walk. I mean, this is something that we all expect. Teachers are expected to keep a certain standard. They have to dress in a certain way. They have to conduct themselves in a certain definite way. And all that. This is called your standard. This is your canon. This is the way it is. I'm sure doctors also have a certain code of conduct. You know, they are to behave themselves in a certain way, and so on and so forth. And for example, they are not to discuss their patients' problems and difficulties in public, which is a big question. They go up the lift and they're always talking about all the patients all the time. So they have not yet come up to a certain standard. But if there's a senior person, they'll keep quiet. But among themselves, the only thing that saves them is if they talk. You can tell a young doctor and old doctor. Young doctor all talk in medical language. Older doctor, they don't. Not because they've lost touch with it, but because they know how to talk with the level of the patients. We all expect certain standards. What about Christians? What about us? What standards are we talking about? Okay, let's take a look at Paul's saying. And we read, verse 17, what a great challenge. Brethren, join in following my example. Now, this is something that we would want to look at. The word here, join in following me, literally. This is what he's saying. Now, this is not just simply, come on, join us. Come, join us cycling. Right? Join us, not falling down, join us cycling. Okay, we all understand that. This is not a join concept. The word join here is better understood when we remember what the children sing in nursery rhymes. When we were younger, we just brushed our teeth across, right? The old-fashioned way. Then the dentist tells us, cannot brush like that, it's wrong. So we are told to brush up and down, up, you know, inside, outside. They keep on brushing. You count how many times you brush. And so we sing a song, this is the way I brush my teeth, brush my teeth, brush my teeth. This is the way. And then we expect the children to follow, right? This is the way we brush our teeth. We don't this. And we expect them to follow, join in my example. You know what it really means? This is where we get your English word called mimeograph. What's mimeograph? A photocopy, a mimeograph, old word called a mimeograph. In other words, a copy. So this word here, the idea here of join in my following my example, literally Paul was saying, mimic me. In other words, imitate me. Now, I hesitated to use the word imitate because imitate is just not good today. It's not a good word today. This one is imitation, you know. So you look at somebody, imitation, not so good. Once there was a young pastor, and he was waiting for people to, you know, when young pastors are like that, when they preach, after they preach, they feel that they have preached the best sermon ever. And then, you know, where were the other pastors? How did the church survive without him? So he came up, and one day he was preaching a wonderful sermon, at least how he feels. And then someone said to him, wow, that is a model pastor. He was very pleased with himself. But it troubled him, because the person who said it with a smile, as a model, you're a model pastor. Then he went back home, looked up dictionary, and he said, model, imitation of the real thing. That's not what we're talking about. The word here, mimic, is a good word. And I really hope you understand what this is. This is such an important thing. Mimic can be used in a good sense, in a bad sense. You get a bad sense. I think of mimic in a bad sense, and I think of my old neighbor who used to have a monkey. You know, it was such a novel. You know, we had dogs. Some people have cats. Dogs, we got plenty. A neighbor had to have a monkey. It was, you know, long before this monkey. Now you cannot have a monkey in your house, but he had a monkey. And the monkey was very clever. I don't know why, but I like the monkey. I would give him peanuts. You know, I noticed how the monkey, he just bunches it up and keeps it in the mouth. No matter how much, he just stuffs it up. And then slowly he will digest it later on. I used to think that the monkey was very clever. Chinese New Year, gave him a red spot, green spot, you know, kind of thing here. And the monkey can use a straw and drink. So clever. Oh, so clever. So if I clap, the monkey also claps. So one day, my neighbor said, you know, I taught my monkey how to smoke. So I asked him, why you do that for? He said, yeah, but it's quite fun. So you see, what's a monkey? Matches, he can take up and strike. Really? And he can even smoke. Well, a few months later, it wasn't just a monkey who was smoking. The whole house was smoking. Because the monkey mimicked, and he held it. He didn't know that it was going to burn him. It was painful. And, you know, his skin was a little bit burned already. He just threw it and it caught fire. And before you know it, half the house was burned. Of course, the monkey was gone too after that. But, you know, it was an important... This is what monkeys do. They do it without thinking. You ask me to drink, I drink. You ask me to clap, I clap. You ask me to eat, I eat. You ask me to jump, I will jump. If you ask me to light, use matches, I'll do it, but I wouldn't know what to do with it. The word here, to mimic, is, remember, we talk about first maturity. Right? But even if you have maturity, how do you do it? You go into the next word called mimic. So from maturity, with maturity, you mimic the behavior, the pattern. I like what Paul said. Following my example. The word here, example, is where we have the word type. This is what Paul wrote to Timothy. You know, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. Same word here. Be an example. Be a type. Then others will look at it. So this is the type we want to work on. This is the way it must be. In other words, he becomes a standard, he becomes a pattern, he becomes literally a type. And we need this. We really, really need this today. Nowadays, you ask yourself, what does it mean to be a Christian? How do you really have a Christian walk? And there are so many views today. There's so many opinions. There's so many claims. Well, you want to be a good Christian, you want to have a Christian walk, listen, you must be wealthy. And so, there we go. So, a wealthy Christian is a blessed Christian. Is that true? As a model. Well, Paul says, this is how he wants to help the Philippians understand what it means. And so he cites himself as an example, but then even in his days, there were people who were walking as it were. And they call themselves Christians, they call themselves believers, but the way they were going about their faith and their life, Paul could not help but say, you know what? Many walk. Verse 18. Many walk. And I was speaking to you about them. But now I speak to you again, literally. Not the first time, not the last time. He's going to tell you, these are the people I want to speak of. And when we speak of other people who don't walk with the Lord, how should we speak? Not with glee that people don't walk well, but with great sorrow that people behave the way they do. And Paul exemplified this when he wrote these words. I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping. And it is a sad thing when people live the way they do when they are not walking with the Lord. It is reason for tears, indeed. What is their problem? We read that they are one, they are the enemies of Christ. How are they enemies of Christ? When they dishonor the name of Christ, when they bring shame to the name of Christ, when they do not in any way become an example of what it truly means to be a believer in Christ. You know, this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully again and again. Verse 19, Paul warns. Why is this important? Because the end result is something we cannot ignore. Now, remember we said that Paul, as many as are mature, the end of it all is maturity. Well, we see the same word here, whose end. Two words are translated. One is translated end, one is translated maturity. Actually, the same words. The same words, because that's what it is. What's your end? Or what's your goal in a Christian faith and life? One is maturity. What's your goal and end of a life that is false? What is the end? We're still going to come to an end sometime. Right? And the end is simply destruction. Verse 19. At the end of it all, they lose everything. And verse 19, end is destruction. And Paul asks, who really is their God? Seriously, who is their God? And Paul concludes, their God is not the Lord Jesus Christ we worship. Their God is their own belly. They make use of religion to feed themselves. Whose glory? And they like to tell you, this is their glory. Paul says their glory is in fact their shame. It's shameful to think of the things that they are considering as glory. What is it all about? It has to do with the way they think. What are they thinking? You will notice the word here, their mind on earthly things. It's not that they have a mind. What it really means is that they're thinking earthly things all the time. And so they're telling people, you know what, you should pray for that $1 million. God wants to give it to you. And Paul tells us that this is far from the truth. That's not the point. So if our thoughts are always on earthly things, thinking earthly thoughts all the time, the end of it all is just simply destruction. Because it is as false as it can get. And this is a reality, this is a doctrine that we need to look at very carefully, because it is a doctrine that is ignored today. The Christian walk is a walk of faith. It is a walk of devotion to God. It's a walk where we become more and more heavenly minded. We are preparing for the day when we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the true Christian walk. It's called the upward call. God calls us to a greater life of faith, a greater life of service, a greater life of self-denial, a greater life of taking our cross, a greater life of sacrificing our very life for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a call that he completely engaged himself in all his life. And he says, this is their call. Was he alone? And he said, no. In verse 15, as many as are mature, they think the same thought. That's what it means here. As many as are mature, they've grown in their faith, they've understood it all, they become more and more thoughtful, they think this is the call that God has given to us. And I think this is what we really want to consider this morning. What is our call? What is our understanding of God's call for us? If we grow in maturity, if we understand, then we will agree with Paul. This is an upward call from God. This is the way we should walk, and we should discard that which is wrong. Our God calls us to a life of greater holiness, a life of greater consecration, a life of living for Him. Now, if it is a different gospel, then it's a different God. And if it's a different God, and this particular God is talking about things physical, things earthly, rather than things eternal, then it will fit right here in verses 18 and 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind, who think earthly thoughts, in other words. It's something that we all need to understand and grapple with. What are we living for? What is our walk all about? And I think our challenge must be to ask ourselves whether we are having this walk at all. We go back to the first example. As children, our parents have always taught us to live well, to be honest, to do well, to have integrity. Good advice. We want children to grow up well. We are coaches, tutors, teachers, mentors. We want our children to grow up, and all our charges to grow up well too, so that they'll be healthier, stronger, better, higher level. As an apostle and as a pastor, same challenge. Live at a different level. Go up higher. Don't worry if you're not rich. Don't worry if you don't have very, very much. Don't worry about in an end of life, we've got nothing to show for it materially. But if your life is one that is exemplary, it becomes a pattern for others. It becomes a tupos. It becomes an example to people, and people look at your life and say, you know, that's a life that I would like to have. There was one man called Bernard of Clairvaux. And Bernard of Clairvaux was a person who was very, very devoted to following the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls people to a life of devotion to God. He was the most feared of all the people in his days. Because many young men followed him to give up their lives to the Lord, much to the horror and to the sadness of all the mothers who had marriageable daughters. All the men had given their lives to serve the Lord. Unfortunately, the call to give up all in the early days is just about gone today. And yet this call must be sounded out loud and clear. God calls us. There's an upward call here. And He calls us to live for Him. And we have a clear example in the Apostle Paul. The challenge must be to understand what this call is. But in this life, in this modern world, there are now two patterns which are very obvious. There is the apostolic, biblical call, walk. And there is the worldly, secular walk. And both, one says the biblical one is outdated. The other one says this is modern. This is it. This is how you should be. And many, many are drawn to this worldly, secular model, whose God is their belly, whose end is destruction. We have God's call given in His Word, exemplified by the Apostle Paul himself. Let us be greatly challenged to answer this call. Let's live for the Lord differently, so that the world can look at us. Yes, they may despise us. They may even persecute us. But as far as we are concerned, we walk because we have arrived at this level of maturity in our faith. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that You would bless us as we consider this Christian walk. Help us to understand what it means to live as the Lord Jesus Christ did, as He challenged His disciples to deny themselves, to take up their cross, and to follow Him. And Father, we pray that we would respond as Paul did, through an upward call to live for the Lord Jesus Christ as we were meant to. So we pray that You will move our hearts, challenge us to consider what it means to live this way. Pray for Your blessings. And Father, bless us often too, and we give in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to bless us before we go from here. And now may this great and wonderful God of ours raise us up in our faith to maturity, enabling us to think mature thoughts of what it means to have this upward call to follow after. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy of seeing how He walked enable us to be challenged deep down inside our soul to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Him. And may the Spirit of God empower us to choose a biblical model, that exemplified by the Apostle Paul, rejecting that which is false and of the world, enabling us to live as we were meant to, with great power and blessing from on high, fulfilling our destiny, a call from a great and wonderful God, an upward call to eternity, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.